Welcome to Moto Bandito at the... No, that's...
No, no.
Damn, I should have got that beginning right.
Here we are at the Moto Bandito factory. Give you a tour.
Give a tour. Nobody has hard hats on. Who runs this damn place?
That's, we should do that.
Yeah. Hey there. Welcome to Motorcycles and Misfits at the Recycle Garage. Tonight we have me, this is Liza, we have Douglas.
Yo, here.
We have Mike, aka Hardass.
Howdy.
We got Megan.
Hey.
And Adrian.
Hello.
And some other people might be popping in. We didn't want to wait for them.
Yeah, yeah. Screw those guys.
That's
it took
right.
Like 6 hours to do two tires.
Jeez.
Not to mention the stool.
Well, Rich is test riding.
Oh, yeah. Quote,
he had
quote unquote test riding.
Test ride.
This is the
test
first ride. One he's actually had to test ride after, which is a Hayabusa, yeah. 1300 for the listeners, which I thought was pretty funny.
Can you turn Megan up and Adrian down a little bit?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Oh, and Bosley's here, too. So if you hear any snoring, that's Bosley.
Yeah, and Josie will probably come in at some point,
and
too.
And hiss and get pissed off at him.
Excellent.
No, the cats have figured out not to be afraid of him. And actually, the other day, I found him crying in the other room because Jackie had chased him away from his food.
He's learning his place in the house.
Oh, poor Bosley. That's what you get for being the least fierce dog in the world.
Yeah.
So cute.
So, let's talk about what we did today. Well, this weekend, I got the, what's that called? The XS750
the
running.
Bumblebee.
The Bumblebee.
The
Bumblebee.
No one believes me because it won't start today, but it did, and it ran yesterday.
Sure.
These batteries just don't like the cold weather. It started when I gave it a full
it's
charge.
It's California. We don't have cold weather.
Who's here? Lucas is here. What up?
Oh, great.
We just started. And I'm just giving an update on what we did today.
I have to talk about what I did today.
Yes, you do. And so I got that running, and I rode it yesterday. Lucas, that runs.
The Bumblebee.
The XS.
Oh, you got it running?
Yeah.
Oh, rad. That's cool.
And I also got the XL70 that's now a 125 running.
It was a lot of fun.
And it sounds awesome.
What was the problem with it?
Turn the mic on. There you go.
Mic was off. Yeah, you can see I'm a real winner, right? What was the problem with the XL? I mean, I know that it had some problem with like the exhaust gasket or something.
No. It turned out that the carb was just crapped out.
So, I mean, even though it was clean and everything, it was just...
I mean, that's a brand new carb.
It was brand new. Yeah.
And I'm running it with a fuel filter, but there was stuff in there almost like gelatin. I'm thinking that maybe from original packing, there might have been like that those silicone beads or something got in.
Oh,
it.
Yeah.
Or could it be crap from the tank that got in?
Yeah, but it was running through a filter.
Okay.
I don't know what would come through, that would be gelatinous. A high size particulate filter. It's not like...
No. That other one was that little small with the gold.
Right, but it catches the big bits. It doesn't...
Yeah, but I don't know what would have come through that's gelatinous. Well, anyway, so I cleaned it off, and it runs, and it wheelies, and I've already crashed it into the death trap and broke off the air filter on the death trap.
Yeah, now the death trap won't start.
But I don't know if it's related, but yeah.
Yeah,
that's probably for our own health and safety.
Your health and safety.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
And I get bonus points today for getting the final fix on Jake's moped.
Oh, really?
Using a brilliant method.
Yep. Modern technology.
I'm not going to take full credit because it was everyone kind of figuring out what it needed and that it needed... it was running too lean because it didn't have an air filter on it. And we, you know.
Well, it had an air filter. It was just improvised.
No, it didn't. I put the air filter on.
It had couch foam.
No, I put that on. It had nothing before. It was just running wide open. And so then I found an old, foam filter and cut it down. We put it on. Still didn't run good. And then we oiled that sucker up. Still didn't run good. So, Lucas, here's where I got smart.
All right.
We realized when you squish the filter towards the carburetor, kind of compress it, that it would run better. So I took a Mountain Dew can and squished it with my foot and just shoved it down between the frame and the air filter. And it runs awesome now. Better than ever.
That's some real goober engineering right there.
I know. I'm quite proud of it.
If it works, it works.
Not the first time we've used soda pop cans to fix something.
I used a Mountain Dew can for my exhaust one time.
You had someone's air filter on their bike was just like a can from a Mountain Dew with like a little foam thing over it.
Oh, who was that?
Oh, well, Vanessa's air filter was held on with a Foster's beer can.
That was Tux's FZ6.
Oh,
we
right,
had the
right,
bottom
right.
of a
yeah.
soda can on the end of his filter.
Right.
That's right. I remember him polishing the end of that.
Let's see. So, Jake, we worked on hers, got the moped running, and Dan came by, changed his oil. Oh, hard ass over here.
Yeah, I'm back. We brought the CB back from, well, trying to bring it back from the dead. And working on the front forks today.
I'd like to point out, first of all, and this is good for anyone to knowledge to have. When you ask somebody to come help you load the bike into a trailer, you need to give them information. If the bike, say, the brakes don't work or something. In this case, the bike is stuck in turning left, and the wheel could only move a quarter of a turn before the spoke got caught on the caliper.
Yeah.
Therefore, the plan was, we'll just drag it up the mesh ramp into the mesh trailer.
Right. No.
Nah. Yeah, I didn't realize you were bringing the trailer was mesh, because when the truck brought it back, it was just...
Even if it wasn't mesh, any dragging up into something.
Yeah. So thank you guys for. So Doug ended up taking out. We had to take out the old wheel and put the new 750 wheel on, just so we could get it rolling.
Which is a larger diameter, so it's hitting the pipes. So you can't turn the wheel.
The forks are bent in,
and the forks are bent in.
Oh yeah. The
forks are a nice, wonderful, interesting.
It's modern art at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just a tidbit. You're asking someone to help you. Give them information if the bike isn't working properly.
Right, and so after about an hour of repairing the bike in situ, you guys actually brought it here, and then I came over and I need to thank Doug and Jake for helping me out.
You're welcome.
And Liza.
Yeah, thank you.
And your neighbors actually had to come down.
Yeah, right. All the ladies were out having their morning coffee, and I'm like, rally the troops. We need some help.
Yeah, there was five people getting the thing on, because I was sitting on the end of the trailer.
Point out that I don't know who has the Samson strength, but when we said we need some help, I saw that rear end of the whole motorcycle lift up.
The whole bike lifted up, and I was like,
the whole bike lifted in the air.
Jen?
Who
said the girls were out, so I was thinking Jen.
This is my neighbors. Florence and Lenny. Yeah, they're stronger than they look.
I was like, holy crappy. Anyway, so you managed to get the new forks.
Yeah, got the old fork off, got the new forks in, and it fit, which I wasn't quite certain it would, so that was nice. The only thing is, it looks like my lower triple tree is a little wonky, a little bent, so we're going to, we put it back together, got it stored, and so next week it looks like we'll sort of see how bad the triple tree is, see if we can. Adrian was suggesting just sort of trying to bend it back, or
use the old forks as a pry bar since they're already toast, and because it only looks like it's a millimeter or two out.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can hold the one end and tweak it back. I mean, it's pretty softish metal, most
right.
likely.
Yeah,
just to get the 1 or 2 millimeters in.
And so the one concern I think Doug was saying was since it's already been torqued a bit,
it'll weaken the metal. Yeah.
Yeah. So how far can you mess with the metal before you start worrying about structural problems?
Well, hold on. I want to point out, first of all, that you have two triple trees, and they can be misaligned. That has nothing to do with it being
you're
bent.
You're doing the horizontal. It's
the vertical.
This way, vertical.
So one of them is bent like that?
Yeah, so the forks are no longer in parallel. They're actually off by like a degree or two this way.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
forward to back.
Realigning it this by... we can't. I know I'm a podcast. It's hard to use hands. I'm just saying. Sometimes, even if it is slightly off, you can compensate by twisting.
Oh, by twisting the top tree versus the bottom tree.
Right, but then the fork that has the torque to it won't slide up and down as easily.
And there's just extra stress on the fork too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point being is this is sort of, I knew something like this was going to happen, and we had to fix the obvious problems before right. the less obvious problems became
the 30 right. degree bend to the forks.
Right. Well, yes.
It's not something that you just want to kind of throw a band-aid
on. Oh,
yes. Yeah. And that's also true. Yeah. Treat.
Dude, why didn't we just flip them around and call it a chopper?
Wait, flip the trees around?
No, flip the forks around so they're forks. Clearing the pipes.
Jeez.
Yikes. I think that's a later project, perhaps.
I think maybe we should do it just to see what it looks like, and then quickly undo it.
No, we should post it on Craigslist, just for lulz.
So, Lucas.
Yeah.
Your friend, is Parnum?
His name's Pranum.
Pranum.
Yeah.
Pranum.
I got Donovan. I don't know how. I was all Donovan. Like, nice to meet you, Donovan. Welcome to the garage, Donovan.
Yeah. No, he needs to have a nickname, though. He definitely needs
he has a nickname.
Oh, okay. He's got one.
Okay. First of all, how good of a friend is he to you?
The only reason I know him is because I left him a douchey note on his bike.
So, okay, just want to know what his nickname is?
Yeah, tell me what his nickname.
King Calamari.
King Calamari. I'm digging it.
The king of all squids.
Okay. I'm just going to take a moment to describe the squid that Lucas brought over. And if he listens to the podcast, squiddy. I'm sorry, but you are a squid, and here is
why. He needs to know, though.
It looks like you tore him away from playing Xbox 360.
Right. Yeah.
First warning sign was the Hayabusa.
He's riding a Hayabusa.
With chrome all over it.
Chrome all over it, exactly. I noticed he even had a side mount curved license plate mount that is not being used.
That was hell trying to fucking deal with that piece of shit. And we took him to Rich the mechanic, and Rich was like, the fuck is this? Basically. And so we had to manually adjust it using like a tape measure and just like seeing where the middle of the axle was, and it took forever just because they didn't have the little markers. So, you know, usually you can just look at the little markers and you're like, okay, it's like in between the second and third one, and you just go on the other one, you eyeball it, and that's it, right? But this stupid fucking license plate thing made it the chain adjustment take about 30 minutes.
Oh god.
It was nightmarish, but yeah. So there's that.
So also he was wearing like loafers.
He was wearing, I think, jeans.
No,
it wasn't. It was like khakis or
like,
something.
No, like track pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
and,
like an Eastern European gangster.
And like loafer shoes with short socks.
And a sweatshirt and no gloves.
And when asked if he, where, you know, where are your gloves, dude, by Andrew.
Yeah.
His response was, well, I really don't like them. They're not very comfortable. I prefer to ride without.
You can afford a Hayabusa, but you can't afford comfortable gloves.
Right.
Maybe he's just a hand nudist.
And the fact that he had a threadbare rear tire.
Yeah.
Literally threadbare.
Yeah, you can see that.
The cords are showing, and they're about an inch wide.
That he told me he was hoping to get another 2 or 3 months out of.
Ugh.
He said that?
If it's parked, yeah, you could get 2 to 3 months out
of it. Maybe even a year.
This is also the guy that almost dropped his bike in front of me on campus, too. He had to stop suddenly, and then his weight shifting forward made the bike start to fall over. And I don't know how he picked that thing up from how far, because, I mean, it went down, like, 45-degree angle, and I just looked, and I was like, oh,
apparently
God.
He's, like, a hardcore weightlifter or something, so.
And maybe that's how he was able to pick the stupid thing up, but, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is a pretty apt nickname, so I'm digging it. But I guess
calamari.
I guess I should. We already talked about what a squid is on like one of our last podcasts, right? So
yeah, and he seemed like a cool dude. We're not trying to be mean, but he really needs to be schooled. And I'm wondering, because you are the douchebag note leaver, how is this happening? You're hanging out with him.
I guess I feel an extreme sense of responsibility. If it were not for me, this dude's tire probably wouldn't have exploded like week later. Yeah. So yeah, so. I guess.
What kind of tires did he buy and put on there?
I actually helped him look for them. We got they had like a clearance on some Continental Motion Pros sport touring tires. He's like, what tires should I get? And I'm like, you want to get sport touring tires because you basically wore down the middle of your other tires. Yeah, so,
good point.
So, and he's like, oh, I only need to replace the rear tire. I'm like, no, you need to replace both these fucking tires because they're like 6 years old, okay? And his front tire, I didn't notice until we had it on the lift at Rich's. He has one of those bike lifts that jacks it up to like chest height. It was a Q2, but in the middle of every one of the treads, it actually split open.
Ooh.
Yeah. And this tire was like, it was either 6 or 7 years old, and it was like, I could dig my thumb in it and just pull chunks off it. Like,
wow.
It was
just, he was just driving a coffin, basically.
Yeah, right. And now you know why I leave douchebag DC notes.
Right. So, is he hurting for money that he doesn't want to spend on gear and stuff?
Basically.
He said that. How can he afford that bike?
Don't buy it.
You spend all your money on the bike and you don't think about everything else.
Well, most of the shops, when they sell you a bike like that, it's on a credit card, and they'll throw in a little bit extra on that credit card for you to get gear.
Well, he said he sold his last Hayabusa and made money. I'm guessing he just upgraded.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you buy a bike, you're supposed to set aside. Die. You set aside money for registration, for insurance, gear, and he did not really take care of any of those.
Well,
so
if it's a second bike, I would have hoped he would have had gear to begin with.
No. Dude, this guy didn't even know how to adjust his chain. So, and he's been allegedly riding for like over 6 months or something more. So
how did it go at Rich's? And is he going to let us come back?
Well, what happened was I went and I borrowed Liza's Jeep. I got the tires that I had stashed at my house. He sent them to my house. And then he followed me out to Rich's. We got there, put the bike up on the stand, and Rich was swearing at this bike the entire time. I sent Rich an email, and I'm like, hey, I'm helping out a new rider with this Hayabusa, and he's like, okay, that sounds cool. Why is a new rider on a Hayabusa? So Rich was just like, being sarcastic the whole time, kind of. And so we get this thing up on the lifts. And we're like trying to take, the bolts off, the axles off, and everything is over torqued like a motherfucker, right? I think at one point it maxed out his torque wrench, so it was like 200 newton meters just trying to undo the bolt on the front axle. So whoever had this before tightened it so much, like, he was wailing on this thing, and the big ass breaker bar he had, we had to put an extender on the breaker bar, and he was still pushing it, and you could see this huge fat, like, it's as thick as my thumb, and it was bending in the middle trying to undo the bolts on the axles, and it was just like, it was crazy, and he was pissed. He was pissed off. He's like, this motherfucker.
That reminds me. Well, first I was going to say, did Rich have a stand to lift up the front? And second of all, you still have to put away all the stands sitting in the parking
lot. Oh, fuck.
Because you tried every stand we had to get that bike up.
Well,
and it didn't work.
He
so
ended
what
up
Rich
using
do?
The same stand that we had for the front, but we just decided it was too sketchy.
Right.
So, but he basically used the same stand.
Okay.
So we could have done it here, but I think it would have taken longer. Rich was pretty good at getting things going smoothly. But we got it, both ends jacked up. We had to – when you're changing tires, it's a pretty long process. For the front wheel, you have to remove the calipers. We had to take off the front fender to get the wheel out from under it. Then we had to loosen – to get the axle off, there are these two bolts – that just hold it in place. You got to loosen those. And then it was in there so tight, we had to just pound it out with a mallet,
Oh, yeah.
So we did that. We unscrewed it and pounded it out with a mallet. Unscrewing it, Rich, of course, was swearing the whole time. And, we got that out. You just roll it off. Rich has his tire machine, and he can pop off the tires, put new ones on. for the rear, you gotta. The Busa has this one weird, like, there's a swing arm, and then there's like a swing arm for the rear caliper that like flexes with it. So we had to like kind of take that thing off.
And what was the missing spacers?
Yeah, Rich was like, "You don't have any spacers in there," and so I had to call Liza and ask if she had any futilely. But then Rich is like, "Oh, wait a minute,
they're leftover Busa parts."
Yeah, guess. Yeah. and Rich is like, "Wait a minute, they're built into the forks." I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, they're just stuck in there. You can't take them off." And like the axle has one spacer, and the other spacer just sits inside the left fork clamp.
Well, it sounds like it might be a pressure fit at this point.
Yeah. So we got the rear wheel off, you know, and then we basically just changed his tires, adjusted his chain, cleaned his bike. He still doesn't have any coolant. So I told him he needs to call you. Or something.
Wait,
and get
he's
some
running
coolant.
The Busa as
Why
an
does he
air-cooled
need
bike?
Call me. He needs to go buy coolant.
Yeah, well, I'll tell him to go buy some, but I don't think he even knows how to put it in. So I guess I'll have to do that myself.
Why has he been riding for 6 months and this is his second Busa?
I don't understand why he does not care at all about knowing how these things work.
He's only been riding 6 months?
I don't know how long
he
he's been riding.
He told me he had this bike for 3 months. Before that, he had another Busa. And before that, he had a Vulcan 900.
But how long has he been riding in total?
I didn't get that, but...
For a few months. It's between 6 months and a year.
If he's had three bikes in that time span...
He doesn't even need to change the oil. He just gets a new bike.
Yeah. I said, "Did you change the oil?" He's like, "No." And I'm like, "Did the guy before you change the oil?" He said he did. And I'm like, "Okay, well, we have to change it anyway because this guy's a dumbass." So.
How does he ride? Is he going to die on a Busa?
Slow, except for in a straight line.
Right. So a Busa rider.
Busa rider. And for those of you who are listening, that's B-U-S-A space R-Y-D-A-H, Busa Rida.
Do you think he would wear, like, we've got some gear, we got some boots.
I would just throw it at him and make him wear it.
We could staple it to him.
Or you could just have him learn his lesson.
He wouldn't notice.
You know what? This is not the kind of guy I think is capable of learning a lesson.
If he is not wearing gloves because they're not comfortable, I don't think we can force him to wear any gear. And you know what? He's just going to be another statistic.
Well, I think he's
Google
just ignorant.
Image search.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's like, he's not like your typical like stunna douche, like, "Oh, fuck gear. I don't want to wear that. That stuff sucks." I think it's just like he does not know how important it is.
Wait a minute. We have a different category here then. He's a poser.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. I mean, posers don't need to wear gear because they rarely ride their bike.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he may have been riding for the past, or being a motorcyclist for the past year, but how there's ownership and then there's riding time.
Well, see, the thing I get from him is he keeps asking to borrow my helmet. And he wants to borrow a helmet
very
of mine.
Intimate and private thing.
And he also got a rear seat. And I'm like, "Why?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to take all sorts of girls on my bike and shit." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're not, like, no."
You buy the other helmet, dude.
Give him a cycle gear flyer.
I'll sell him a helmet. I mean, I'm cool with that. Right, yeah. You know, I just said I'd let him borrow it for a day, as long as he returns it in good condition and everything. But I think he's just like, he thinks that he wants to be the cool motorcycle guy and, like, get all the bitches on my sick Busa. And so
motorcycles will not get you laid.
Yeah, no. I was telling him.
Douglas is cocking his eye.
Yo, we live in NorCal. It does not happen in NorCal. It might happen in SoCal. It might happen in Arizona. Yeah, it might happen in Nevada. It does not happen in NorCal.
I beg to differ, Lucas.
Maybe if you ride a Triumph.
Yeah, she was begging for something.
I got my bike a year ago, and I have had no more conversations with women than I have
You're
since.
You're married. Yeah. Shut up.
But the other thing is, I have had an exceptionally large increase in the number of conversations with like 50, 60-year-old dudes that walk up.
Yeah.
And go, "Hey, what year is that?
You guys are
awesome. I had one of those."
I know you did.
Totally.
You still could get laid if you wanted to.
I know.
Douglas
asked me out. I just
got to
change my preferences.
Douglas asked me out when he was wearing his gear, and I was like... Yeah.
Megan, I don't think you represent the typical girl, Megan.
You are a fantastic statistical anomaly.
Yeah.
So you got it done and it's all
good?
2.5 hours
in and out the door. So, we got it all done. Rich was like, Rich is like, okay, this guy, I really need to drive home the point that he has to ride slow on these new tires.
Oh,
so he mentioned at least three times, you better ride slow. You better ride slow. And he was following me, and he didn't know how to get to Highway 1, so he was just following me. And I was driving Liza's Jeep, and so I was driving really fucking slow because it was the first time caging it in over a year. It's a stick shift, and it was like, flipping out of me.
How do you turn the lights on?
I didn't fucking know how to turn the goddamn headlights on. But I had to call her. I'm like, yeah, how do I turn the lights on? But
that actually reminds me of a funny story.
Hold up.
Yep.
So, you know, he's following me going real slow, and I'm like, okay, he's being responsible. And then we get on Highway 1, and I'm driving like 50, and he's just like, brow, and I'm just like, okay. See ya.
Statistic waiting to happen.
He just asked, like, all these fucking funny questions. He's like, I was telling him about Rich, and he's like, oh, do you think he could, like, cut my pipe and make it louder? I'm like, Rich is not the kind of guy you want to ask for that. He will probably laugh at you.
Dear Sawzall.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw all the back of remember the exhaust on the XL70. Didn't work. Now it just rattles.
I remember I was there. I saw that.
So what was your story, Adrian?
Oh, just the whole caging it after a long period of time, like of being motorcycle only or something like that. I was driving my roommate to the airport one time, and he had a Subaru, and I was like, okay, I'll drive you to the airport, blah, blah. Yeah. We get on, and it's at winter time in California, which means rain. Yeah. So we get about half a mile, three quarters of a mile towards the airport. We're heading down this road, and he just turns and looks at me and goes, you know, you do have windshield wipers, right? Yeah. I was just so used to it.
That's embarrassing.
Like, I know, reach out and wipe it off.
I know how you feel, totally, though.
Turn your head a little bit. Yeah. Let them
just cock your head to the side, let it wash off.
Driving in a car after not riding for so long, it felt faster than it really was.
Yeah.
It was freaky. I didn't like it.
Oh, what's freaky? Also, being in a convertible for the first time in ages really freaked me out.
I've never been in a convertible. That just seems creepy, dude.
No, because what happens, I was in the backseat of a coworker's convertible, and so you get all the wind and air and sight of a motorcycle because you got all this peripheral vision, but you don't have your helmet on. So I was constantly going, wait,
yeah, you feel
wrong.
Anxious.
Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I don't have my helmet on. My helmet
on. That's really funny. I guess you could put one on. It would feel natural, I guess.
Yeah, it would feel natural for me and embarrassing.
I used to have a convertible. I called it my four-wheeled motorcycle. Mm.
You should, like, instead of having a steering wheel, you should replace it with, like, handlebars and a throttle.
Yes. I'll be honest. One of the reasons I got rid of it, I had, it was a 79 Fiat Spider that I had.
Oh, it was a Fiat. There you go.
Rebuilt. No, I rebuilt the suspension. I'd taken, put, like, Weber intake and everything, right? And I would go up into the hills like I would with my, you know, sport bikes and just go carve through the hills. And one day I thought, I'm going to slide off the road and down a ravine one day and no one's going to find me because I take more risks in the car than I do on the bike because I feel safer. And I realize I'm putting myself more at jeopardy than I am at the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, I wanted to take this opportunity to hear from Megan's porn pick. But first, let's start with a little tale that Mike can help you with. Please do not do this on Craigslist. So
I'll let Mike take this one.
Mike, people may recall we used to have a young man come here who we named Flip Flop.
Dude, Flip Flop is in all my classes.
Okay.
I see him every day.
You need to leave him a note.
So, yes. And you recall that
he's riding the same bike, the one that was allegedly destroyed.
So Flip Flop was doing a lot of work on his bike, and he went for a ride up Highway 1 and didn't tighten the oil drain plug, and it fell out. Now the bike makes this horrible knocking sound. And I told him that at any moment, it could be a day, it could be a year, this engine is done. It's done.
It's already.
So And what we've been commenting, we haven't heard from him in a long while. Like, what's he doing?
I've been catching up with him.
Here we have the update.
So I'm checking Craigslist. As I usually do. And so I see, hey, look, it's a Rebel. And then, I know it's his. And so it's salvage titled 20, blah, blah, blah. Shift pedal doesn't work properly, which is apparently, I think, one of the only things that he actually was supposed to have fixed on that bike.
Yeah.
But, and then it says, you know, 3 dents. Oil drained. I love this. Oil drained, flushed when the oil plug fell off while riding, and then he follows that by saying the bike is still rideable,
as if that was a positive thing that he's now flushed the oil.
Right.
Yeah.
And then must have M1 whatever, and then $1,000 no less. So he's
for a Rebel.
Yeah.
A Rebel 250 that is.
He didn't.
Much
he only got it for like.
It's a $1,000 frame and tank with 3 dents in it.
What did he pay for that? I think he paid less than that.
Yeah, I think he said he did.
I think he's counting on the fact that even though he says no less, everyone is going to lowball him.
I hope so.
So here's where, I mean, I think such we all agree. I have issue, yeah. Like, come on.
You'd full disclosure.
I mean, that was, I don't know if that was full disclosure, but.
That's not.
No. Yeah, you got to read between the lines that, no. Yeah, because the oil fell out, I then continued to ride it for another 50 miles before.
And he doesn't say that. He could have realized right away.
He didn't
right
list
away,
that he didn't know what the oil light was in that ad either.
Yeah.
Ouch.
This is true. Yeah,
so anyway, I'm a little disappointed in him.
Yeah, I was really kind of surprised when I saw that, and yeah, he wasn't being honest. And he's asking way too much for it.
I'm disappointed in anyone who asked way too much for a bike, because you do get new riders who will sucker to that, and they don't
know.
Yeah,
Lucas knows all about that.
I have no qualms selling that bike to that guy. He knew what he was getting into.
All right, douchebag. Yeah. All right, so your Craigslist porn pick of the week.
So there's not very many pictures for this, but I found a Kawasaki GPZ550 for sale. It has been sitting in my garage for quite some time, and I would like to free up some space. This bike has been garage, inside, and covered for many years without running it. It will need some work. The bike is, doesn't say exactly what year, but 1980s, and it's got 12,000 miles on it. Asking $500. So $500 for a garage.
About
GPZ.
What I paid for your GPZ. Can I see a picture?
There's not really much of a picture.
For people like me who don't know what a GPZ is, can you describe it in terms of other bikes?
Well, that is the GPZ 550, a picture of me in 1985 on one.
Oh. So it looks kind of like a naked EX 500.
Right. That's pretty much what it is.
It's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
It's what became the Ninja.
Okay.
Yeah, but before they did the fairings, it still got the UGM look.
So here's another good note for people listing on Craigslist. He explains everything well. It's a fair price. Mm-hmm. There is one picture of the odometer, and the other picture is of the odometer. And part of the tank.
And part of the tank.
So all we can see are the handlebars and the odometer. We can't see the rest of the tank.
That's kind of why I wanted to pick it.
What is that sticker?
So it's 55. I think it's a Sammy Hagar sticker.
But that's kind of why I wanted to pick that, because one of the most important things when trying to sell something is how something looks. That's like the first and biggest impression.
Yeah, pictures
worth
a thousand words.
Exactly.
Does he say it's been damaged or dropped or anything in that ad?
No, he said it's been garaged for quite a few years and always been kept inside.
He also doesn't say if it's
registered. Yeah.
Well,
which
is,
you know, a red flag, but it would be this would be worth checking out.
I guess.
I would drive by with a friend looking for a bike.
Sure. Show up. So all fucked up. Just say nope.
It's worth checking out.
I'm always surprised how few listings actually will mention whether or not the thing has current reg or not.
Right.
Especially because I'm looking for a cheapish bike right now, and I'll find like an old Connie or something, and it's like, yeah, all right, it's $1,500, but
I
think it's because it's what you're looking for.
Well, yeah, it's also, but like every bike I'm looking at is like they won't tell me what the reg is.
My interpretation on that is I've sold a few bikes, right? If the reg is good, I make a point to say the reg is good, because that's a selling point.
Right,
people will want to pay more for a bike that they don't have to register. If they don't say that, I think it's just not.
I think it's just not. Yeah.
You know?
See, I've been searching more dirt bikes, and they're very explicit on the green sticker, red sticker, current reg.
So, Douglas, are you feeling the urge to pick up that GPZ 550 at all?
No.
Is it too soon?
No. It doesn't have the fairings on it.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's what I liked so much about the 550.
Yeah, this is one of the earlier race fairings. I think like the 82.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could get the race fairings.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a quick...
How much money?
A quick update on our friend Leif, who recently got his bike back that he sold.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story. Yeah. So basically, it started when Leif bought a police cowie for, what, like $900 or something?
I remember.
Something
nice
like
and
that.
Cheap, yeah.
Oh, this is the bike he tried to sell for like $6,000.
Tried to sell for $6,000. But he did a lot of custom work. I mean, it's one of those things. What do you put a value on? Forward controls and 8-pangers and a solo seat and a beer keg, battery holder. And but he did stuff well.
Yeah.
But it really is
and he had a
side mount license plate.
It's all bobbed out now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's bobbed out. I mean, he did good work, but
casing.
It's very customized. It's hard to find, put a value on it.
Right.
So he sold it some dude. Oh, God, I hope this doesn't get us killed. So he sold it for like $2,500, and he described the guy as, I'm pretty sure he was a drug dealer. Because the dude was just asking questions like, so, like, do I have to get this thing registered or what? You know, like... Like, do I need to buy insurance for this? Just asking sort of shady questions.
Those aren't even squiddy questions.
Those are straight up like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to sell this. Because that guy is never going to register it. If you don't fill out your release of liability or the DMV loses it.
Let her finish the story.
This is how the story gets.
Okay. All
right. So he sold it and a couple months go by and he gets a call from an impound lot. The bike has been crashed and...
But not badly.
The owner, even though he did contact the tow lot, he was told it was $800 in fees, and he said, screw you, walked away from it. So Leif was still the owner on record. So he got a notice saying, you know, you owe us these fees for your bike. He called them and said, look, I sold it. And they said, yeah, we understand. The other guy tried, he contacted us, but he's just like... He's not calling us back. Oh, and Leif said, and I tried to call him, but his phone number didn't work anymore. And the tow lot said same thing. They just called him. He just called us a couple days ago, and now his phone number is disconnected.
One shot.
Yeah, burner, dude. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Leif was like, hey, man, I'll give you $400 for it. And they're like, all right. He said, but send me a picture. I want to see how bad it is. So he had custom-made copper fenders. They were gone. He thinks the dude pulled the fenders off. The forward controls...
Did they say where they found the bike before it got towed?
It was in Oakland.
Yeah.
And it got towed to Richmond.
What the fuck?
Right. And the dude bought it down here in Santa Cruz. So I don't know. So the forward controls that Leif had outfitted on it took most of it. So the engine didn't get smacked at all. But is that the cat trying to get in?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can let her in.
And the front pegs kept the engine safe.
The ape hangers were bent that he had made. Here's the shifty thing is that he asked for a picture so he could check it out beforehand. And when he went to pick it up, the pod filters were gone, even though they were in the picture. And he was like, dude, that's going to cost me another $50. Take $50 off the price, and they wouldn't do it. So in between the time, somebody started taking parts off. Some other dude was like, oh, man, I really wanted that some other part on that.
Tow yard in Richmond doesn't really sound like the
place.
Well,
any tow yard, if you ever get something impounded or trashed, et cetera, take anything of value before it hits the yard because it'll get stolen.
So he actually chopped the ape hangers down and then re-welded them back together.
Yeah.
He took the forward controls off and just put stock controls back on.
Yeah.
He just kind of did a couple things, had it running in a day.
Yeah, rattle can the tank.
And now he's kind of redoing it a little bit.
Well, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Major win for him, for Leif. Yeah.
Well, he got paid $2,500, and then he paid a few hundred bucks to get his bike back.
Yeah, he has a bike in $2,100.
Yeah, there you go. So, I think he lucked out.
It's funny, he said also this dude could barely reach the forward controls, but thought he looked cool on it.
Was the guy like a fucking midget or something?
No, those
or was
controls
it just,
like,
were pretty
like to
far
call
forward.
Them little people.
Little people.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me.
Meanwhile, I'm just amazed that bike wasn't. I mean, just this guy sounds like, you know, when he got in a crash, it was going to be a nasty one, and it seems like.
And it had damage on both sides, so he must have high sided. Oh, and guess why he crashed?
Because
Leif said the tires were armor-alled.
What?
Oh no!
What?
Oh no!
Oh my god, that's so fucking funny.
The tires were armor-alled. Leif had to scrub them.
Oh my god. Did the whole surface?
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Fuck.
Yikes.
What kind of fucking idiot does that? Tires.
I also saw a picture of the tank before Leif Radelkand it, and it was the guy had put the stupidest little stickers.
Here's the awesome thing. It's a cowie, right?
Yeah.
He put Harley stickers on the sides of the tank.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you see?
At least it'll run right.
Did you see this? Does he think he's fooling?
I don't know.
Harley dudes will kick his ass.
Oh, yeah.
For that.
Here's the other reason that he thought he was a drug dealer. He said that the guy showed up and said, "Man, I was just down at the Harley dealership. I wanted to buy a bike, but they wouldn't sell it to me without insurance. So fuck them." So he went on Craigslist to buy a chopper.
Yikes.
That's why he bought his bike.
Yeah. If I was late,
he was ready to drop money on a new Harley.
Yeah, but didn't want registration insurance because that'd be paperwork.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, see, when you're a drug dealer, you can't have any declared assets.
That's true.
So if you register something in your name, the IRS knows about it. And if most of your income comes from selling shit that you shouldn't be selling, if they know that you are buying fancy cars and shit, well, they're going to start looking real hard at you.
So let's take this opportunity to take a quick break and hear a word from Moto Bandito.
Moto Bandito Headlight Projector. Take your motorcycle to the next level with the Moto Bandito Ultra High Efficiency Projector Lamp Headlight. On the road, you will outshine the rest while ensuring the brightest light, best color reproduction, and longest burn time. You see, this headlight comes with a built-in DVD player. That's right! Now you can project your favorite movies as you roll down the road, or pull up to a wall and impress your friends with an impromptu drive-in movie theater. But it doesn't stop there. This kit comes with accessory mirrors with built-in Bose speakers for that ultimate stereo experience. Order now and receive the bolt-on exhaust tip popcorn maker and the popcorn bowl Haffy helmet. Everything you need for that perfect movie experience. Available only at MotoBandito.com.
All right, we're back. So, real quick, I wanted to give a shout out to our friends at Cleveland Moto, who we've been chatting with. They have a podcast that I love. It reminds me a lot of ours because they burp and fart in the mics too and just shoot the shit. Except they actually know what they're talking about, which is kind of cool.
We just kind of poke fun at people.
We give people mean nicknames, and we just make fun of them.
We have a serious show business side.
Anyway, Doug, Megan, and I are talking about...
we put stuff together like stools.
We're talking about maybe flying out and hanging out with them for something pretty cool.
That would be legit.
Yeah. Yeah, I like them. Yeah. So let's talk about, we have a few topics to talk about. Should we do the design a bike? Or passengers?
Passengering.
So who here would be a passenger on a bike?
I've done it.
I have.
I was Megan's passenger.
Yeah, it was so funny.
It was, Lucas, dude, that's fucking freaky.
Yeah, and you started to lean with me, and I was like, no. And you had scooted as far back on the seat as you could, and you had both hands on my shoulders, which threw me off.
No, you told me to put it like on your
around
or something.
Me. Yeah, because...
I did, though.
Yeah, that was after.
Were you copping a feel, Lucas?
No, I was.
Do I need to regulate?
Really
do I need to go gangsta? G-A-N-G-S-T-A?
Do we have the word with you outside?
I'm a sick rider.
Passenger.
Yes.
I've
passengered and I have the exhaust burn to prove it.
So when Megan and I first got together, she had never really been on a bike before.
No, that was one of the other things.
So I took her for a few rides on the Ninja, then I got the DRZ, and then I was taking her on that, and then she started to ride her own bike. So this goes on for a while, and when was this, like October or so? We had to go somewhere and we only had a bike, so I threw you about in the back of the DRZ.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, now that you are... been riding your own bike, you were starting to lean as a passenger. And
I didn't realize I was doing it.
It was throwing me the heck off.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're halfway into a turn, and all of a sudden, all this weight starts going down, and you're like, "What the hell are you doing?"
I know. Yeah. Once you pointed it out to me, I was a lot better.
Megan has also been my passenger.
Yes, I have, and that was terrifying.
Why?
Because I was in like this little cramped position.
Megan is taller than me, for those
of you who know. I was in this like cramped position on his RR, and I could barely move, and the seat wasn't even a seat. It was just like plastic that was painted black.
It's a race replica. The seat is basically like a board with vinyl on it.
I was bouncing. I wasn't even bouncing. I was like swaying up and down the whole time. And like my helmet would move without my face moving. And it was just...
You need a new helmet, man, if it can flop around like
that. It doesn't do that on my bikes.
Okay, I just want to say that not many things scare me. I jumped off the Stratosphere in Las Vegas. Didn't even raise my heartbeat. I feel secure. When you're strapped stuff, I'm going ziplining next weekend. Apparently somebody died recently doing it there. Ah, that's a selling point for me, right? I will not get on the back of somebody's bike. That puts me into panic.
It's really freaky, especially if you're on a bike with two separate seats. And like on a sport bike, like my bike, you sit way up high behind the driver.
So. Can I just say, when you see these chicks passenger in and they're holding on like a little tick on your back, right? Yeah. And they usually have about 8 inches of skin showing because they're wearing some short shirt, right? Yeah. And then their flip flops.
And booty shorts
and
they're,
a helmet.
They're like,
and they're
like
just.
Boy shorts.
They're like a
they're
backpack.
Not,
yeah. I mean, oh my God. How do people do that?
Yeah. And
I don't know.
That,
they're crazy.
Not just that, but when Doug took me on the back for the first time, he was really. I mean, he made me wear earplugs. He made me wear leather. He made me wear one of his extra riding jackets. He made sure I was protected and safe. And then I see these people with these girls wearing no clothes on.
Yeah.
As a rider now, I would never put anyone on the back of my bike without gear on. Ever. Right.
So, Douglas, when you are training a passenger, what do you go through? What do you tell them?
First things first, how to get on the bike. Make sure you ask if the driver is ready. Swing your leg over like a horse. Don't lean. Don't bend forward, back, left, or right.
So how do you communicate to somebody? What verbiage do you use when you say don't lean?
Your natural instinct is going to be to lean. I just say go. Just don't do anything. Just be a rock. Pretend you're a piece of luggage strapped to the back of the bike.
Yeah, I tell people you're part of the bike. Keep your spine in line with the bike. Yeah.
As Justin said, to nipples to back. Nipples of the passenger to the back of the rider. That's right.
Well, that doesn't always work because there are times I want to move. I'm moving around. When I get passengers who are like holding on to me, I like to have a bike that has something for them to lean on. So it's like, all right, you go back there. Leave me alone. I'm going to, you know, move the bike around.
See, I'd actually rather have the passenger mimic me, like Justin was saying. Except less
you don't know how far they're going to lean into a turn.
Yeah.
No, what I told them is to act as like a backpack to me. So when I'm going into a turn, I'll lean half as much because I know
that doesn't. That's still that doesn't work for me.
I'm just saying it works for
me. That's crazy that works. That
it's interesting. I didn't really think that there are different techniques. I mean,
so you're correcting for their weight if they're going to go with you.
I say follow my weight or follow my body, act like a backpack, and then I lean half as much.
Okay.
You know what Justin was telling me because I had. Jake jump on the back of my bike for the first time ever having a passenger. He said when he has someone that's really new and has never been on a bike, what he does is he goes in a straight line and he makes the passenger squirm around just so that passenger realizes how much their movement affects
that's pretty
the control
cool.
of the
I
bike.
I do that. I tell them to stick an arm out. Mm-hmm. I say, now, I'm not going to know what you're doing. Yeah. Stick an arm out and see what happens.
Yeah. And so he said that's a good way for the passenger to realize just how much they're shifting.
Okay, I have to tell you. So you see this picture behind you all of me when I was, still a teenager, on that GPZ 550 in my shorts.
Guys, it was a squid.
Okay, but I have to say, that was for the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. That's why there's a ton of bikes behind me. They get a ton of the Dykes on Bikes riding. So this friend of mine is like, I want to ride with you. So you get all these girls who want to find somebody on a bike. So they're like, I want to come ride with you. How cool, right? So we're riding up Market Street, which you're riding two by two. And it goes on for like 20 minutes. There's hundreds of bikers. And I'm on the side that I'm riding between the trolley tracks. She keeps waving and seeing people she knows and leaning out and, hey, hi. Oh, look over there. And I am swerving around in the train tracks screaming at her.
Look at you. You must weigh like buck 10 in that photo.
Oh, that's so sweet. Buck 40. But it's like, that was my, because I mean, I was a new rider. That was my lesson into you got to control your passenger. Do not move around.
Yeah. I've probably got not the worst passenger experience out there, but a club mate of mine wanted to a ride down to somewhere. So I was like, oh, yeah, sure, hop on the back. You know, there was some, like, he'd left his bike there, some logistical nightmare. And so we're heading down this hill, and all of a sudden my bike starts janking left, starts janking right. I'm like, what the hell? I look back. And he's comfortable enough on the bike back there. This is a big V-Strom at this point. And he is arched his back all the way down. So he's doing back stretches, almost yoga poses off the back of my motorcycle, where his head is like he's looking backwards. His arms are out. Basically. No, he's curved down around the tire.
Oh, wow.
And like stretching his arms out. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, he's stretching on his back because it hurts a little bit. It's like, you even ride. You know what that's doing to me, you freaking asshole.
It's probably just fucking trolling you.
No, he was just being clueless.
I like to make my passengers feel secure and come up with communication. Like, if I'm going too fast or you're feeling unsafe, tap me on the leg. Of course, who did you take? Oh, Jake on a ride. And I said, if you're going too fast, whack him on the helmet.
What's worse, having a pastor who wants you to go really fast or one who wants you to go really slow?
Slow.
Yeah, slow. I can tell you one time, when you get a passenger that you work well together and it's comfortable, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I did a ride once with a passenger and we actually had a cooler strapped to the back. And we had it set up that I would communicate to her where I would tap her and she would pop a Coke for me. And and I'd had a cup holder on the bike and she'd just pass it forward.
I didn't know you had a BMW.
I'm assuming you were wearing a 3/4 helmet. Unless you had like a funnel going down the front.
There was no helmet law at the time.
Back in the day.
And I remember, too, one of the first times I was passenger with Douglas, he was like, now, he gave me this little speech before in the parking lot here. He was like, now, if I, like, grab your legs or anything, it's not because I'm trying to be creepy. I just need you to move or something. I'm like, okay. And so we get on, and he, like, starts grabbing my thighs and my butt, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
That was like weeks after. It was not the first.
It was not. It was one of the first times. It was like the second.
It was when we were comfortable where I could grab your ass.
And I just wanted to do it on my bike. And I started like sweating.
Which is a very fun thing to do.
And I was like, yeah. What did I do wrong? We came to a stop, and I was like, do you need me to do? He's like, oh no, I'm just groping you. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we were comfortable enough at that point.
I'm supposed to be the douchebag.
You also, go ahead.
One of the signals I like to use. Since you mentioned groping, is if I'm ever coming up to a lane split or something like that, because I will lane split with passengers, is I tap on the outside of their leg to make sure that they pull their knees in. So I'm splitting. So they're not accidentally, you know, like one leg out or something like that behind me that I can't see and mm-hmm. I clip a vehicle. So I make sure that they squeeze their legs in.
Has anyone ever lost a passenger?
No.
Well, snowmobiling.
Yeah.
We had rented these 2-stroke snowmobiles up in Tahoe last year.
I almost...
And I dumped her off the side. Nice.
I almost
I went
lost
flying.
One. I forgot to make sure that they were ready. And
then you took off.
We were at a gas station, got gas, and get on. She's just sitting there hanging out. And I accelerated. She wasn't paying attention. And next thing I saw, a foot come up towards my head. And I let off the throttle and grabbed her ankle and pushed it back down. And she popped back up on the back of the bike.
That was pretty smooth, Liza. Nice.
Oh, Doug, I almost fell off once because I was making faces at a kid.
Oh, yeah.
He was... He was laying splitting.
What?
Yeah, she was making faces at the kid next to us. There's and a I took kid. Off at the green light. And she was not ready.
Paying attention.
That kid probably laughed his ass off, dude. He probably made his
It was like a 3 or 4 year old. He probably didn't know.
You made that kid's day, dude.
Probably.
So one of the projects we have to put on our list, I want to have a 3-seater.
Whoa.
Oh, that would be a good Moto Bandito. So I have ridden with 3 people on a bike twice.
Yeah, I've done that as well.
Are you in the Philippines or something?
No, well, once when I was...
No, the thing in the desert.
Then it would be only 3?
Once when I was 12, and this guy gave me and a friend a ride. It wasn't just a guy. Don't get those looks. He was actually taking us to the parking lot to teach me how to ride his GS650. And I remembered that. And years later, when I had 2 friends and needed a ride, and I had my CB750 with a luggage rack, I said, well, rather than take 2 trips, I'll just put you both on. So one sat on the luggage rack and one sat on the back seat. And it works fine.
Yeah, what I did for mine was I sat on the gas tank and manipulated the controls, and I had the 2 girls behind me. So
wait, and you they had to put down their feet to keep the bike. Oh my God.
You can ride 3 up just fine as long as you do the same communication for a passenger.
I'm just
Lucas's
thinking,
mind has been blown.
How the fuck would I ride?
You actually
my own
have
bike
to have a back
sitting
seat
on the tank
yeah.
to do
this
with
Lucas.
Other people putting their feet down. Like,
did you have forward controls? Did you have nice forward controls so you could just?
Oh yeah, I mean it was a bike we had literally resurrected out of the desert, so it wasn't exactly a performance machine,
right?
So. Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about my bike. That would be like impossible.
Lucas, your bike.
You're always
is
thinking
not
about
good
your bike. Load.
Lucas. 2 up.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's not designed.
Like 90-pound Asian girls, but I guess beside that.
Well, let's talk about what is designed for 2 up. Like, when we did the test ride, I'm looking at Mike on the victories. And I took Donut's girlfriend,
Ahituna
girl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
On the back of that touring victory with the backrest. Like the lazy boy.
Yeah, did she have armrests? Was it one of those where she had like
armrests? Gold wings.
No, it was wasn't that? A Goldwing. It was a
no, I was saying in terms of bikes.
Goldwings too, yeah.
Oh, well, and even like the K. What, the K. LT? The BMW LTs? Yeah. As a, if, man, maybe I could passenger on the back of one of those bikes. It is lush back there, man. And you have the speakers built in, and you just hang out. I mean, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
you feel secure.
I jumped on the back of Easton's bike to go get some food dinner one night with everyone, and that was pretty comfy.
Well, and when they have those really, touring
whatever,
seats that cup your butt.
Was,
yeah.
Because
you have to watch out for the flaming
everyone
swords.
Everyone swears the con.
The flaming swords and fire and rockets.
Yeah. That'd be his V-Strom, probably.
Yeah, probably. So. And he had a little luggage thing in the back, so I had something to lean against, which is nice. And that's always really nice as a passenger to have something to lean against.
I mean, in general, I have respect for people who will get on the back of a bike. I understand that there are some people who this is their foray into the world of motorcycling. They can't ride. They don't have interest in riding, but they get, you know, a little excitement in their life by hopping on the back.
Or the angry wife that doesn't let their husband ride out of spite.
I can't wait to take my little sister.
I want to take her first.
No, because mom said no, and boyfriends, older sisters' boyfriends aren't allowed to break rules with mom, but the big sister
did
is
she
allowed.
Actually say no?
Yeah, my mom
How
said,
about me?
Hell no.
When?
Am I on that
when
policy?
When Rachel asked her.
When?
Last time she was in town.
When?
Okay. Christmas.
This,
my mom
okay.
said,
so she did
hell
actually
no.
Ask.
Yeah, okay, and so I'm allowed to break the rules. Because I'm the big sister, but you...
Well, I could put both of you on there. It wouldn't, like... that'd be just kind of bending rules.
My sister-in-law is so against the idea of motorcycles and all that. So when they came,
is she
to
just
visit,
a hater or what's her?
Nah, she's that's just the way she is, and she works in a hospital and uses that as an excuse. But in any case, you know, I don't, you know, she can whatever. That's fine. It's her family. She can
see
you know.
One too many organs.
But they came to visit and you know, so I just showed them the bike and you know I just pulled it out and I said to my brother like, hey, you wanna try it out, sit down, just sit on it. He kind of gave me that look like, don't get me in trouble. And he's like, no, I'm good.
Well, see, my sister's 14.
Yeah.
So motorcycles are very exciting for her. And the fact that she has a big sister that rides motorcycles, it's
you
very
were like,
exciting.
That's kind of the sister in the world.
Yeah,
that's
very exciting. Cool. And she's like 90 pounds, so having her on the back would be... really easy.
This reminded me that a few years ago when I still had my BMW touring bike, the R1100 RT, I asked my mom if she wanted to go out to lunch one day like we do a lot. She said, sure. And it was a nice sunny day. And she said, let's take a bike. What?
After you pulled your jaw off the floor.
Picture of me in the baby holder was the last time that my mom rode on the back of a bike. 1966. My parents don't like motorcycles or anything to do. What do you remember? So I was just like, huh? And she hopped on the back of the BMW and we went to lunch. It was the weirdest moment. We've never discussed it since.
Oh. I think it's really cute and when Zoe and her mom are on the bike together. Oh. Zoe has packed her mom before.
On the CBR?
Yeah, on the CBR.
Wow. I offered to give my mom a ride and she was just like, no way.
I offered my mom too.
My mom's already wrote, like, my mom got divorced when I was like 6, and then she dated a string of douchebags, and there were motorcycles.
That's where it comes from.
I wasn't going to go there.
No, I asked my mom, and she just gave me this look, like the mom look, like, are you serious?
The look that you already know what they mean. Yeah.
Kind of.
I gave my mom a ride on the EX500.
Okay.
So I want to make sure, Adrian, you have a chance to update us on our category we haven't talked in a long time, the cops and tickets, because we have two people here with updates.
I'm not saying shit. I'm not saying shit.
Is the case still pending?
Filth.
Yes, the case is still pending.
Actually, before I give my update, and you can splice this in, I want to give... We talked about bad passengering and okay passengering, mm-hmm. but I want to bring in the exquisite passengering.
Yes.
There is actually a realm up there beyond the sack of potatoes backpack sort of thing.
The one that hands you a drink
and
from the cooler.
And the one that hands you the drink, even.
Right.
Wow.
And this is the... If you can find somebody who's like this as a passengering, you'll be in nirvana. A professional dancer of like tango, swing, and that sort of remark. Generally, they are incredibly fit. They have huge amount, like they have good leg muscles and they have good control, and they are used to somebody following a lead. They can follow. Right. So if you slide your pelvis a little bit, they can match. And if you just tell them what to do, like okay, rotate your pelvis. Yeah, follow my lead. Rotate your pelvis like this. You can actually start hanging off with them as a passenger, and you can, the extra weight will help give you extra traction in corners and things like that, and you will have an absolute blast railing through the hills with a passenger and feeling perfectly safe doing it.
I just thought of a new category for mini bike races. Two up. Drag racing.
Doug and I are pretty fucking awesome at two
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're practicing earlier today.
Yeah, you better watch out.
So let's hear your update in the cops and tickets category.
Okay. They're dicks.
It's not a very favorable opinion of the police, I say.
That's my polite opinion of the police.
So I'm guessing your naughty one is about several pages long.
Yes, and yeah, we won't go there. AAA with guns. So I was on 35 heading northbound west of Tinitas Creek, or north of Tinitas Creek, where there was a sheriff that was tucked away on Tinitas Creek. I saw him about quarter mile, half mile behind me, because 35 straightens out at that point. So I see this shape way back there, and I was like, something's catching up to me. That doesn't usually happen. Okay, we'll check, and I'm behind a car anyway, so I'm doing close to the speed limit anyways.
Right.
So I roll off, make sure I'm within the safe zone. He gets closer. Yep, okay, that profile is about right. He gets closer, and he gets closer. I mean, he's doing the slow creep up to me. He creeps up to me and chills out for a couple minutes behind me.
He's waiting
me
for you to just take off,
yeah,
right? So he can chase you.
No, yeah. See, what they do is they call for air support before they pull you over.
So he's trying to pace. Well, he's trying to pace me. He's trying to, double check whatever.
What are you riding?
I am riding a Husqvarna TR Terra 650.
Okay.
So it's an enduro. So it's not a sport, and it's not a cruiser.
Right.
And he hangs out behind me for a while. I'm like, come on, guy, just get it over with. Sure enough, lights up. We pull on over, and he comes out. He's like, so what do you got for me? I'm like, are you talking to me or your radio? Because that's a very odd question. And he gives me the spiel. There's only so many times I can say, no, I don't have a criminal record. Because he's, assuming he's pulled over a certain type of individual.
Oh, you got profiled. Were you wearing the patch?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So now it all makes sense.
Yes. And I, you know, he gives me, he's like 70 to 50. I'm like, no. And then I'm just like, no, that's ridiculous. But he didn't have radar on it. It was a complete visual, 70 to 50 with a microsecond view of me. And it, I'm going to contest it, of course.
Well, how fast were you going?
At that point, I was probably, I was going above the speed limit. This is actually a public record, so I'm not actually going to say what my speed was. Sorry.
Right.
This is why I'm not talking about this.
However, I was not doing 70 to 50. And I will contest it because I contest all my tickets because there's some people with this train of thought of like, oh, I was actually speeding. I'll just suck up and deal with it.
No.
You know, I no, there are some people who say, well, I deserve that ticket. That, I will pay for it, etc.
I did that the first time and I regret it.
Yeah. So. I used to be of the mentality as well until I started getting the bullshit tickets. And now it's the, okay, yeah, you know, there was a legit ticket that I paid for, but I got three bullshit ones. I'm going to try and balance the scales myself here.
Was the legit ticket the one when you were on Melissa Finley's 250?
Yes. I do consider that a legit ticket because I was doing WFO on a Ninja 250 in the Hills of Nine. And the guy actually managed to sneak up on me completely. Mm-hmm. It was... I thought at first the siren was part of my music. And then I look back and he's right on my ass. And he pulls me over. And that one, he pulls me over and he's like, yeah, I didn't hear you until you turned on the siren. He's like, no, I had the siren on. I turned on the louder siren. So, and yeah, that one was legit. And I did pay that one off because, come on, I was redlining and top gear in the 250 in the hills of Santa Cruz. That one is kind of deserved.
Melissa,
wait, were
was
you
so
at that
proud.
One part of nine where it straightens out?
No, I was still in the hills. I was still in the curves.
Because they always hide there because I heard from a friend, they can't. There's actually no speed limit for a small segment of that road.
That's probably untrue.
Well, they said it was because the road actually was unable to be surveyed. So they said that they actually don't have a speed limit for this one segment of road. So they always camp up there so they can try and nail you as soon as you're coming out of it.
No, this was lower. This is more towards Boulder Creek. This was past the high school, which is probably where he picked me up because they do tend to like to hide by the...
They hide in the school.
In the school or that propane tank at the end of the straightaway before it goes into curves again.
Yeah.
That's where he picked me up and it took till past Fern for him to actually catch up to me. So.
You just like duck in someone's driveway and just wait for him to go by and go the other way.
How did that work for you?
That's not what happened to me. That's not at all what happened to me. Although in retrospect, I feel like I should have done that.
So what happened to you, Lucas?
I'm not talking about it. This is a currently open case, and I am not sure if the statute of limitations is expired yet. So.
That's a couple of years. When is the court date? So then we can ask you.
Well, let me ask you. You recently had a friend who went through something similar. What happened to your friend?
I did have a friend who actually did go through something similar. He got a wheelie ticket.
So
that wasn't me. This is not my like friend version of me.
This friend of yours. What happened to? Did your friend do?
I can't talk about it. Because it could I'm gonna be honest, I very narrowly escaped being charged criminally, so I don't want to talk about it.
Well, the first rule of Ticket Club is you can't talk about it.
Right. So once the matter is all said and done and I have consulted with a lawyer and figured out they cannot charge me at this point in time, then yeah, I'll talk about it, but not now. So it's a really good story.
It is. I've heard it.
But I just can't talk about it, you know.
All right. So getting ready to wrap up, I wanted to talk about upcoming rides. One of the vampires want to take it?
Sure. February 8th, we have our Dampened Spirits event.
Which?
10 a.m.? 10 a.m. at the River Street parking garage. It's now has a gate over it, but just right around it.
Which, and the Dampened Spirits ride is what kind of a ride?
It tends to be a scavenger hunt. So we have people break into three or four groups, you know, about six to eight people, however many people show up to it, because it is kind of ass early in the morning. And it's either a list scavenger hunt or a themed scavenger hunt.
I plan on winning again.
Yeah.
Tell me how the scavenger hunt works.
Again?
Wait.
Again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You weren't there last...
No, I didn't go last year, but the year before I won.
Me and Doug's team won last year.
Yeah. So the scavenger hunt works. We give you a list of various things in the Santa Cruz area, and you as a group have to plan out what ones you're going to get. Some of it's like a copy of the local Acorn paper, which only exists in Corleotis, so you have to go down there and get it. The themed ones I find a bit more interesting, where it's the theme is coffee shops or surfing. So you have to invent things for you to go out and do. Some people, like for the surfing one, brought a part of a surfboard back on their bikes. One brought a surf employee, including bikini, back. Things like that. And you have to pander to the judges for the most part.
Okay, I want to describe my favorite one was the seven deadly sins. Seven deadly sins.
Okay.
All right, just so you can get this image. My team, we wanted to do the one for envy. So it ended up with, me having a giant, like a 12-inch strap-on dildo, with a bunch of the vampires kneeling down before me, and I'm standing there boldly displaying my giant cock, doing this in the front yard of somebody's house, quite visible to the world.
Wait, so did you just take a picture of that? Or?
Yeah, so we went around taking pictures.
So the themed ones generally are picture, or you can bring some artifacts back, but if you bring it to the... like to the judging, you have to take it with you because we've gotten so much crap.
Okay, but you also have to know that. So we went around taking all these pictures. There was one for I forget which one it was, but it ended up with Cindy Creech with her pants around her ankles, bent doubled over her bike, with her boyfriend coming behind her and.
That'd be lust, probably.
Yeah, I think it was the last one. Like we've set up these scenarios, right? So then we go to the pizza place. All the teams show up and. What they're doing is they're turning in all the photos and they're projecting them on the wall of the pizza place where there's a table full of 14-year-old boys next to me and there's a picture of me with a giant dong.
It gets better because that was the year because somebody just dumped their camera that some significant other pictures got accidentally displayed on the wall of an intimate
nature.
Pizza
place.
Yes.
That's like Fight Club status. Yeah.
It wasn't quite that explicit, but it was a lovely teddy. Let's put it that way.
Lovely teddy.
I'm trying to cycle through.
Lingerie. Don't worry, you'll see it when you're older.
Aw, he's imagining a teddy bear strapped to someone.
I know.
I'm just not familiar with the terminology there.
That's all right.
Look it up on Victoria's Secret tonight.
So that is a fun ride. I'm looking forward to that. And then shortly thereafter...
is my favorite ride.
Is Megan's favorite ride.
There are no scheduled vampire events after Dampened Spirits until the rally. However, February... Doug?
Let me get my calendar.
Oh, is this the not ride?
22nd, I think. Does that sound about right?
Lucas, you'll want to start doing some crunches for this one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the date got changed.
Yeah, the date did get changed.
Yeah, that's going to be... February 22nd.
Yeah, 22nd. There's the naked ride.
Yes, yay! The naked ride. Oh, and nobody look at me. I do not go on the ride. I am just there to provide support for everyone else and a safe environment to disrobe and trust that your clothes will end up where you are.
I'll get Kevin to deactivate his horn this time.
Definitely.
So,
Kevin, mean dad, Kevin?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so anyone who wants to join the ride, because you open it to everyone.
Oh, yeah. All the vampire rides, if you hear about it, it's an open ride. And as always, free.
And you have to wear your helmet.
Oh, yes, helmet, boots, and gloves, and that is all.
And your driver's license.
Your driver's license.
Usually
find
in your
a
boot.
Way. Find something.
You,
boot.
You keep it in
way.
the huh. This particular ride, we do end up at a community hot tub. So you get chilled to the bone, and then you warm up. So
yeah. The theme is not like lewd and lascivious. It's polar bear swim sort of attitude.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's quite fun.
Lucas, I don't know if you remember this last year, David went on it when he was still underage.
Really?
So we made him wear his underwear. And then I remember at one point, like, James was like, dude, you have to strip down. No one can wear the underwear. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah,
he's a minor. So he wears underwear, and then they go to the hot tubs, but he can't get in the hot tubs because he's a minor. So he has to turn around and ride back here in his underwear at night. But a couple of the vampires who were leading the rally, who were
blocking,
who were in full gear and patches, escort him back. So you think that it's funny to see somebody riding down the road in their underwear. What's funnier is to see them being, you know, having two people in full gear and then somebody in underwear following them. Like, oh, whoa, what's going on here?
Paging Dahmer.
It's a really fun ride. Yeah. I had a blast.
It's
last
my, it's,
year.
Yeah, it's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Other than the that one ride we do in our rally.
Yeah.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, that one on Friday night.
Yeah, the Friday night ride.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everybody is curious and wondering, yes, we have had somebody crash.
Oh, yeah. It was the dude that we ran into him. Kyle. We ran into him in the slow rally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that was you that wrecked on my first naked ride when I went
on. He was on the last naked ride, too, and I remember him telling us all about that in the hot tubs.
Yeah.
He said that he went down... when he went across the
train tracks.
Yeah, in front of the boardwalk. Yeah. The train tracks don't...
They run, like, semi-parallel to the
street. They're not perpendicular.
I ride over them on
the
way
home. They just intersect in a very, very, very shallow...
And it was raining.
And it was raining.
And it was raining, so they're all wet. And if you don't try and hit them perpendicular, you'll just slip. So...
Right. So, and if you want to see, I think there's, I've seen videos on YouTube.
If you go to YouTube and do Santa Cruz Naked Ride, you'll see several of the past year's events.
And because the ride does not go into darkened streets. It heads up right down the downtown strip, past the movie lines.
Last year, I was on the back of Doug's bike and he was leading. So I got to see a lot of the initial reactions and I got to look around as we were going. And I saw parents picking up their young children and like running into stores with them covering their eyes. And I saw people like doing the double takes, like, you know, that's a very interesting colored full piece. Oh, that's hair, that's chest hair, you know, like
the funniest ones are the cars that pull up next to you at the stoplight.
No, and one of my favorites was a car, like, it must have seen everyone in her rear view, and it was this young girl, and she just stopped in the middle of the road, and I think the pack split and went on either side of the car, and she just sitting there with all these naked bikers on either side.
Yeah, we don't stop.
No.
Nice.
It was awesome.
All right, so if you have any stories you want to share with us or any ideas, you can contact us by Megan.
On Facebook, Recycle Santa Cruz. Our email address is recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com or at our website, motorcyclesandmisfits.com. Is that all of them?
Yeah, sure.
And check out motobandito.com.
Oh, yes. Check out motobandito. Oh, and like us and rate us on iTunes.
Please.
Too.
Yes. We've had some people listening.
B-A-N-D-I-D-O.
And P-O was his name, oh.
Cool. So that's it. Thanks for listening. This is Eliza.
Douglas.
Mike.
Megan.
Adrian.
Lucas.
And we out.
Cool.
Cool.